You're listening to a podcast on
the Geeky Dad Podcast Network.
When the kids are asleep, that's when Dad has time to play. Welcome to the Geeky Dad After Dark. Okay, I'm here with some two very special fellas. Now, I got Steven and Lyndon. Now, they have a Kickstarter coming up soon, right?
Yeah, February 3rd. It launches.
When?
February
3rd.
February
3rd. At laundryman.ca.
Cool. Yes, good, good. I read the first couple of issues, and I really loved it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, thank you so much.
Awesome.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, what I like about it so much is that, you know, the chemistry between the two characters, it comes off like real, you know? And, you know, a lot of times you don't get that when you read a book. You know, it comes off like it's very genuine. I like the way you guys played off against the two characters. It's very nice.
Appreciate that.
It was something that was really important, because this is a series where, you know, the premise is that these two guys are taking like cases of various supernatural or sci-fi nature. And so it was really important that the two characters have a chemistry and they get along well, because it's really their relationship that is going to tie the series together through each of their episodes. So right. I'm glad that came out right at the beginning, because it was super important to us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Steven, I know a lot of artists, they usually, when they design their characters, sometimes they base them off of actors or people in real life. Who did you base these characters on?
Yeah, I actually, option A, I tend to, I watch a lot of movies. So when I design my characters, I tend to like, usually already have like an actor in mind, where I'm like, oh, like who would I want to play this character in a movie? And then the character is based on their face, plus the series of mistakes that have happened every time I try to draw it. And then you create this unique face for the book.
Right.
One of the main characters, Brian, I think, and I started this a long time ago, but I think it was Matthew McConaughey. It was specifically, and yeah, I actually use it in the book, this meme from True Detective, where he's like, looking at the camera like this, and he's smoking a cigarette. That's kind of where it came from. And then Wade, the other character, he doesn't really look like this guy anymore, because like, as I drew him, like his face elongated and stuff like that. But I don't know if you've ever seen Grey's Anatomy, but there's this character, Ben. He's the original like face. And then like, just through drawing him over and over again, he morphed into the character that he is now. Okay. So
yeah.
Huh.
Cool. So, Lyndon, let's get into this this book. Like, how did you come up with this story, and how did it progress?
Actually, the whole thing is Steven's idea. Oh. You blame him for all of it. No, we had just finished working on our first book, Infinite Universe, which we self-published in 2018 and then was republished in 2020. And Steven came to me one day and he told me that he had this idea for a story about these guys that worked sort of outside of the government system to solve problems. And we, the way that Steven and I have approached a lot of our projects is we like to, someone has that initial kernel of an idea, and then we bounce stuff back and forth off of one another until it takes the shape that both of us are in love with. And so Steven came to me with this idea, and it ended up turning into this this project, The Laundryman, that's essentially a mix of like Ghostbusters meets X-Files with a little taste of like Supernatural in it. And it's these two guys that are, you know, working out of a laundromat, and they're solving these supernatural crimes, and you don't quite know like where they're getting their cases from, but if you can pay them, they'll take care of it. They'll solve the problem, and they'll clean up the mess, like the messes of the world, as it were, and the things that we're not ready to look at. But the initial kernel of the idea actually was Steven. I give Steven full credit for that. And then we fleshed it out together.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. You know, I did see those shades of Supernatural and X-Files. And when the car did give me vibes of Ghostbusters. Yeah.
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 Yeah. It's we were just talking. It's like they had to have a car because... and it kind of goes back to your first question, your first comment there about the dialogue and their conversation. We wanted to have these moments in the book where they could really just talk and like show the reader who they are. So like having them in a car going on a long road trip is definitely a, lack of a better term, a vehicle for that. So
fun.
Yeah.
Now you guys are going to be doing a Kickstarter for how many issues?
So the Kickstarter is for book one, which contains the first three issues.
Okay.
So the book is already finished. It's ready to go to print. But we've been working on this project for so long that we didn't want to launch it as three separate issues. We want it to come in one single volume. And the benefit of that is the first three issues are the complete, you know, first case, as it were. So the whole first story arc is contained within those three issues. And that way people get a nice, you know, 80 page book. We don't have to worry about bags and boards, as it were.
Right.
And I've always loved the feel of a graphic novel over trying to manage a floppy comic. If we can,
trades all brothers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you going to be offering like a digital copy as well?
Absolutely. Yes. So our tiers are a digital copy, anyone in the world can get the physical copy, a bundle of books of the books that Steven and I have worked on in the past, which includes The Laundryman. It includes our first book, Infinite Universe. It includes What Will Not Last, which is a short anthology book that Steven was a part of. I wrote and lettered the whole book, and it contains an epilogue and short story from our first book.
Okay.
A copy of Dead Work, which is a 144 page anthology of genre comics ranging from sci-fi to horror to genres that I can't actually define. And then finally, there's a copy of When I Get Home, which is a 20 page black and white comic that Steven and I actually did together in October for 24 Hour Comics Day. So Steven completed the art for that book, all within that 24-hour span. And it, you know, if I can brag about Steven a little bit, it looks amazing. I'm so happy with how that turned out. And then for some of the more premium tiers in our Kickstarter, Steven's going to be doing some commissions. And then we have a few, right now we have one, we're hoping to have another piece of original art related to the book. So some one-of-a-kind stuff that people can buy if they really want to own an original piece of art from the project.
Cool. So Steven, you do the art digitally, or do you do it like on pen and paper?
No, I do it all 100% digitally. Okay. Yeah. I don't remember when I stopped working traditionally. Like I had my fine arts degree. I did all the paint and the clay and stuff like that. And then after that, you know, I took a lull from art. Then I came back and this is why. It was in 2015. Lyndon and I went to San Diego Comic-Con, and I sat in a line for 8 hours waiting to do a portfolio review with Blizzard Entertainment.
Oh.
And then I showed them my work. They liked it, and they said, you need to do digital. And then I was like, okay. And so I just bought a Wacom tablet, and I haven't stopped doing digital since. Yeah, it's fast. It's so versatile now.
Mm-hmm. Does it feel like cheating?
When I go back and try to do traditional, it feels like I'm cheating in digital because it's like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah. I'm also an artist, and I remember doing the traditional stuff, and then you mess up the inks and you got to go back with the white out and all this stuff. Yeah. It's like, man.
When I make a mistake, say I got some downtime at work, I've just got a piece of paper and a pen in front of me. I'll be like drawing, like I was sketching Spawn the other day, and I screwed up and I put my pen down and tapped with my two fingers like I do on my iPad to undo. And I was like, oh no, it's not an iPad.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay, so let's go with like your like 10 years or 20 years from now, whatever. Let's say you guys are given the free rein to do any comic book character. Oh. You know, what would be the comic book character you want to work on? Lyndon first. It could be less. Who knows?
You know, I would love to work on this comic for 10 years.
Okay.
And continue to own the property. And if it's going for 10 years, then that means that someone out there likes it. Yeah. So in a dream world, the Laundryman is so successful that we can just keep working on this book for 10 years. If we're talking more like licensed works, like we're talking like superhero type comics,
yeah.
Then my dream character in 10 years, that's a tough question because, you know, you want to play with all the toys.
Mm-hmm.
But if there was a comic book character that I do dream of working on, hopefully it doesn't take me 10 years to do it. It's probably Batman Beyond.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's because I grew up on that comic. I mean, I grew up on Batman, the animated series,
yes.
Which is amazing. And then it was followed up. Yeah. And then it followed up with Batman Beyond. But I feel like there's so much of the Batman Beyond world that hasn't necessarily been looked at in the comics.
Yeah.
That I want to play with all those toys that are dusty and haven't been looked at since the TV series.
Yeah.
And like twist them around in new ways. And I'm scared. This is, you know, the insecurity of the writer in me, that if I were told to write a Batman story, I wouldn't have an idea good enough to justify the history of that character.
So yes.
I think it's the freedom of
you have more free reign.
Harry McGinnis. That
exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. I so see
that's my dream is number one, our own stuff. And number two, let me play with Batman Beyond.
Okay. So you got like a lot of stories like lined up for the Laundryman.
Right now, I am about to start on issue 7 of The Laundryman.
Okay.
So this Kickstarter is for issues 1 to 3. Steven is in the early stages of illustrating issues 4 to 6. And I am in the early stages of writing 7 to 9.
So do you see an end game for these characters, or you don't know what the end would be yet?
We know what the ending is. What we would like the ending to be. However, we want to enjoy the journey of arriving at that ending still.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. If we can put a lot of space between now and that ending and just like tease that ending just a little bit each time, that would be really cool.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. I mean, you can also even go forward. We didn't see them like meet up and stuff yet.
Oh yeah. 100%. Mm-hmm. Go back backwards even.
Yeah.
The prequel.
You have an idea on how their whole history is, like when they started and everything?
I have
pieces of it.
Talked about, sort of their origins, what happened to inspire them to become, you know, monster hunters. But we don't have like a world journal fleshed out or anything that we're abiding to at this point.
Not to compare us to like Tolkien, but I like to think about like Laundryman in our books, like in the way he would talk about the lore, where it's like, I think this is what happened, or like, I think this is how they arrived at this. Like from the little pieces that I know about the characters, like this is probably what it was. And then when we land on it, eventually be able to write that into the book.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I mean, what about you, Steven? What would be one of your dream characters to work on besides your own creator own stuff?
Right. So obviously same answer as Lyndon. If I could go create her own.
He said beside that.
I know, but I got to say that.
I got to say it. Good answer.
I'm contractually obligated to precede all these answers with that. So, if I had to pick a character, an existing character, it would be the Silver Surfer.
Okay.
Yeah. There's something about, I would love to just draw a comic that is effectively like one being's inner monologue as he flies across the universe, and like being able to like shape the worlds he passes through and the people he sees solely just based on what he's talking about and like end in some sort of big bombastic dimensional like do, you know? And I just like Silver Surfer Black by Donny Cates is just, it's one of my favorite things in recent memory.
Yeah.
I just picked up John Buscema. No, it was a gift for my wife for Christmas. John Buscema's artist edition.
Oh, John Silver Buscema's Surfer. Great. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, I think it would just be so cool to just be one more guy who did well with the Silver Surfer. So I Donny Cates and Tradmore. I should say Tradmore. So
Tradmore.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing artist.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the big one.
Cool
You met? Oh, that's so cool.
One day.
Before he even got famous doing Marvel stuff, I had approached him at a Comic-Con and I told him, like, let's work together one time. But then right after that, Marvel scooped him up.
Wait, that happens? No.
Yeah, he wasn't working with Marvel at the time, but yeah.
Now, Steven, would it be like
Strode? Strode, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. I know for a fact because I've read your artist bio enough times that you also grew up wanting to draw Spider-Man.
Yeah. Yeah. I would always tell people growing up, like, what do you want to be? I'm like, well, I don't really know what I'm going to be, but I either want to be drawing Spider-Man or be a Starship captain. Yeah. 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 So maybe I'll draw Spider-Man one day. It would be amazing to draw Spider-Man. Those villains are, it's the villains you want to draw.
Yes.
And then also Spider-Man, like Todd McFarlane says, like just bending, make him cool. A human body do things it can't do.
Yeah.
Just make him cool.
Yeah, just make him cool. Yeah.
Now, when did your love affair for comics begin, both of you? Like, what you remember the very first comic you ever read?
So, I remember when I was really young, you know, going to the comic shop and picking up the odd comic here and there. But I feel like I got away from it for a while. And then I came, you know, when I was picking up those comics, I was probably 7 or 8, but I couldn't tell you what they were at this point. Cause it was just here and there I'd get one or buy one, but I came back to comics probably when I was 18. It was when New 52 relaunched at DC.
Right.
And I think like many people, I picked up Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo's Batman. And their take on the character, you know, had me hooked. And then before I knew it, I was just reading comic after comic after comic. So it's a bit of a murky question because I can, you know, I grew up watching Batman on TV and in movies, but I feel like I didn't really appreciate the comic side of it until I was in my late teens.
Right. Yeah.
Steven?
Yeah, I've got like an on and off relationship with comics. And I remember my first comic was, I got it in the 90s from a 7-Eleven. Is it 90s? Probably 90s. And it was Peter Parker Spider-Man, Spider-Man.
Right, yes.
And it was like the really great cover. It was like him hanging upside down in a dark room. And then the villain of the issue was Fusion, and he was basically like a super Skrull, but not a Skrull, like with the way his powers were, including like the Hulk hands and stuff like that. And it was good. And then like I got the odd comic throughout the years, but you know, didn't really have a lot of my own money to spend on them. And then on and on, it was, you know, movies and stuff. But then I really came back into comics really when we started making comics.
Okay.
Because you start looking for reference and you're like, well, who's this person?
Inspiration.
Who's this person? Right. Yeah. They make this. It's like, oh, look how they did that on the page and stuff. And a big thing that sucked me right in was like Headlopper by Andrew McLean. And I've got all the volumes, and like it was like that. And then I just from there. You just collect all the ones that just speak to you, like, but I don't have a lifelong love affair with comics. For me, is I'm a big movie guy. And then it was like comics became this perfect medium for me to use my art. Right. And
I mean,
and,
comics and tell are stories, cinematic, you know?
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of how I think about my layouts and my panels and the way, what my characters do. I think about it like through like a mental camera where I'm just like, how would I position this? So, yeah.
So,
or do you make a movie out of it?
So yeah. Speaking of movies, what movies have you been geeking out on recently? Like what was one of your favorite movies that you saw recently?
New movie?
Yeah, new movie.
New movie. Oh, you know what? The most recent movie I watched and was it's one that people are being pleasantly surprised by was Puss in Boots: The Last Wish.
I heard about that. The animation looks really good.
Insane.
It's different than the other
one. Oh yeah. It's like this is out of this is a Shrek franchise that I'm watching right now. Yes. It's like watching Into the Spider-Verse. Like every time
it did give me that vibe. Yeah.
Yeah. Every time the action hits, they like cut the frame rate in half and it's just hectic and crazy and it's colorful. Like that one. And then beyond that, I've just been rewatching like all the space movies from Apollo 13 to Ad Astra, Interstellar, just going crazy. Yeah.
Are you planning to do a space-centric storyline?
We have a space-centric book. I would love to send the Laundromen to space if we can, but
they haven't encountered aliens yet. Only supernatural beings.
They will be at least connected to space.
Uh-oh.
I'm not doing at many points in their time. I'm sure they will be connected to space by two or three levels. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so,
what about you, Lynn?
Recently, it's not even a new movie, but just for the first time, just to make this completely dark, I watched The Witch recently.
Okay,
which is a horror movie,
right?
That came out in 2015. Yeah, it was really good. It was something that we have a couple friends that are big horror buffs, and they've been sort of raving about it for the longest time. So I finally sat down and watched that recently, and it was really good. It's been on my mind a lot lately. But I haven't seen Puss in Boots yet. I'd like to.
You should.
Okay.
It's so good.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Oh, me? Oh, yeah. Well, I will. Yeah.
Well, I like to joke that so Steven and I play Dungeons & Dragons together. And the character that I'm playing as right now is basically like a gnome version of Puss in Boots. So I definitely need to go and watch that movie.
Yeah. It's
Have
great.
You seen that trailer for the new Dungeons and Dragons movie?
Yeah.
Yes. It looks funny. Yeah.
It looks like somebody cared about it to make it. Yeah.
It's better than the last one. It looks better than the last one. Yeah.
What about you? What have you seen recently that you've loved?
Yeah.
Now me, I watch movies every week for the show because I do reviews. So I mean the last movie that I saw that I really liked was the Black Phone.
Mm. Oh yeah. That's with Ethan Hawke, right?
Yeah. That was very dark, and I like dark movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like with that one, it's like one of those horror movies that I still haven't seen it, but it's one of those horror movies that they like advertise like it's like a Blumhouse type flick, an early
Blumhouse 2010. Does everything.
Yeah, but then when you watch it, it's like, oh, like I didn't expect it to go in that direction, you know?
Right. It almost feels like a Stephen King story a little bit, because you know Stephen King has that like more intellectual kind of type of horror to it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I really like that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So guys, you going to be doing Laundromen. What did you come up with the title Laundromen, or was that Lyndon?
We came up with it together. It was a great day. We were learning from our friend Dr. Jonathan Ball about how to do grants and stuff, and we were working together to try to make our first grant application. And he's like, "You guys need a title. Like, we need a title." So we just
I'm gonna pause you.
Go for it.
For the listener who isn't aware, Stephen and I live in Canada, and in Canada, there are grants provided by the government that pay you to make artistic works. So you have to apply to the government for money that they send you to make something, and then you own the thing that you make. So when Steven says we were applying for grants, that's what we were doing.
Canada wasn't already good.
Yeah. All three levels. It's wonderful. Apparently, like we've got one of the better systems for it too, which is really, I feel lucky for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah.
Unpause. Go ahead.
Yeah. Unpause. So we're sitting there, and Jonathan's like, we need a title, guys. Like, we got to do a title. So we just sat there throwing ideas at each other. I remember I think Lyndon said it first, I think, but it was rapid fire. Yeah. And we were sitting there for like half hour, 45 minutes, just throwing like like just like ridiculous terrible names. Name after terrible yeah. name.
Like you remember some of the terrible names?
Oh, not oh, really. Gosh,
no.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
But like, I think Laundryman came up like halfway through and we kept coming back to it. And I think even, I remember like Jonathan being like, are you sure Laundryman? And then we're like,
that's a stupid name.
Yeah. But I'm like, that name is going to sell.
The cleaners or something like that.
Yeah. It was probably something like that. Yeah.
Cause we wanted it to like obviously relate to what they do, which is like quietly clean up like supernatural messes. Mm-hmm. And when I came to Linden with the original like kernel of an idea, I had Ghostbusters in mind because an awesome level or B plot in Ghostbusters, not B plot, it's the plot, right. Is them like running a small business.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I wanted them to do that. And then we were like, what if the business is like a front for what they're doing? And, you know, they've got a secret lab, like a bat cave. And they were like, well, yep. What is the business? And we're like, it's a laundromat. It's like Laundryman or something like that.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, because we were calling them like the dry cleaners or something like right. was, like some yeah, ridiculous like stuff that. Like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, just we like, landed on the Laundryman, and I'm so happy with that title because it's so sort of like ridiculous that people you hear it and people are like, what is that? What does that mean?
Yeah,
right. Yeah, right.
It definitely provokes like a question right away. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I mean, you can't really tell what's it about right away from that title,
right?
Yeah.
And you know, I like the art that you give, like it's very unique. I gotta say Thank you. Do a really good job on
that. I really appreciate that. Yeah. It's you know, it's influenced from all my favorite creators, but like I'm really happy. I do feel like I've fallen on a style. Like if you look at our first book to now, you can kind of see me land on it at one point and like my coloring hits a stride. At one point that just like creates this. And I'm just so happy with how things are looking now. And with the art I just finished today, like very happy with what's happening with my hands.
And the name, you guys created like a studio, Infinite Studio or something, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Infinite Studio is the title that we give to all the works that we work on together. It just simplifies things. Our website is infinitestudio.ca. So any of your listeners can go check that out. We're actually giving away a free digital comic on our website.
Yeah,
our
24-hour
comic.
Yeah.
So you can just go to our website and you can have that. We just want to share it with the world. And we just found it a lot simpler, especially when we do shows together, to go to conventions rather than having to put both of our names on a banner. It makes sense to just put Infinite Studio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because we do, and it works too, because we do some work with other people and like we'll own that work with them, and it'll be having Infinite Studio allows us to any work the two of us do, we can bring under that umbrella and show people.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. That's great. Now, you guys plan on doing some like touring in the United States? For the book, or
we would love to if they'll have us, but like the goal at some point is to get to New York. That's where we want to be. That's where we want
New York
we want to bring New York Comic Con, where we want to bring
pretty crazy night. It's just like San Diego.
I hear it's more comic focused though.
Well,
in a sense, or it has a better
it
presence.
Is, it is, but you know, they segregate like the TV stuff and movie stuff from the comic stuff, so they don't intersect that much.
Okay.
Yeah. So we have a couple friends that do American shows, and it's absolutely something that we'd like to work into our current con schedule. Also, I don't know that it will happen in 2023, but it's definitely on our wish list for 2024.
There's a couple of big cons in Canada, the Calgary one, right?
Yeah.
Yep. The Calgary one, the Toronto one,
yeah,
are all big. We'd like to make it out to Montreal if we can.
There's nothing in Winnipeg over there.
Yeah, we do have a show. It's at the end of October. That was a great show for us this year.
It was a great show.
Yeah.
The Winnipeg show went through a bit of a reset recently, and like that was our first time at the show under the new ownership, and it was awesome. It was smaller than it has been, but like it was like much more dense with people. 30,000
people.
No, I guess so. Maybe same size. Yeah. But like so many people just looking because Winnipeg went a couple of years with the pandemic and then
new people in the slot.
Yeah. Like people were just hungry for everything that they wanted. So it was really nice to be in Winnipeg for that. Yeah.
And I love shows because it's the best place to find indie books.
Right.
The stuff that doesn't necessarily end up in previews. So one of my favorite things to do right before the show opens is to do a lap on the floor and pick up indie books and support other indie creators too.
Yeah. Sometimes I used to trade my books with their books, you know, that's what we
totally.
Used to do. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
So, you know, the Kickstarter is February 3rd. Is it going to run for a month? Is it going to run for
It runs from February 3rd to March 3rd at laundrymen.ca.
That's laundrymen.ca.
We'll provide links in the show notes, and we'll try to get as many people interested in the book as we can, you know?
For sure. That would be awesome. Yeah.
So thank you for being on the show.
And thanks for looking at the book.
Get some big success with this book.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us, man.
Yeah. No problem. Yeah.
We really appreciate it.
Yeah. We like to spotlight, you know, indie books and indie creators on this show. So I'm glad that we can help you out a little bit, you know?
Appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. And have a good night, guys.
See ya. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much. That was great.
That was awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, man. Yeah. Great.